You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, and I'm speaking to Nick Kunze from Sandon Private Wealth this evening. And of course, because, Nick, of the Labor Day holiday in the United States of America, the first Monday of September, which signals the end of the American holiday season, the market is very, very quiet indeed. Knock-on effect to London, and so it goes on. So quiet, I would imagine, on the JSE.
Yeah, evening, Lindsay. It really was. I mean, last week, Monday, of course, we had the bank holiday weekend, so London being shut on the Monday. And today we had the added effect also, as you said, Labor Day in the States. So very, very quiet. Volumes are quite thin. Difficult to get any real sort of gauge. S&P futures, CME is still open, so those who are bored on Labor Day can still punt futures if they want to. But and a little bit of a bounce going into the last sort of couple of hours. So we seem to be, I don't want to say stabilizing and sort of hex us or jinx us, but we certainly seem to be a more of a controlled trade today compared to the wildness of swings of Thursday and Friday.
The rand is weaker at 16.73 against the US dollar. The British pound against the rand is 22.04, and the euro rand is 19.78 with the euro dollar 118.25, which is a slightly stronger US dollar. Dow Jones futures, where are they? They're up a bit. S&P futures are up a bit as well, but Nasdaq futures, having been down over 1%, down around about 0.4% at the moment. Anyway, choppy trade and quite honestly meaningless. But have a look at the European markets. This is so interesting. I was talking to David Shapiro earlier on Shapiro World. Why are the European markets so incredibly strong? Is it because they closed on Friday when the US markets were at their worst point and therefore they're playing catch up, or what's going on here?
I think I generally think there's a trend at the moment of people finding more, and I talk people as in asset managers and money managers, there seems to be more value in Europe than there is in North America at the moment. And North America heading into that November election, as we know, a little bit more nerves and an expensive market. Just look at what those FANG shares have done. So I think there's a real sort of migration from North America into Europe, and I think that's why we're seeing it. And of course, don't forget we've got the ECB this week as well, and quite a few sort of numbers coming out as well, which are European-centric. And I think they're starting to see a lot more value locally. I mean, it doesn't take much for a large Swiss bank to decide that he wants to move his allocation from, I don't know, 60% North America into to 55% and put the 5% in Europe. I mean, it can really move a market. So also added the fact that people are calling for this weaker dollar, so you don't actually want to own dollar assets with that weakening currency for the time being anyway. So I think it's a bit more of that, if I could speculate.
Okay. Right, so we've got no US markets apart from the futures, which are all over the place at the moment. The gold price, though, is not having a lovely day. It's $26 down at 19.28 and a bit. The platinum price is down 23 and a bit dollars at $907 per ounce. Where's palladium, please?
It's actually only up $5 at the moment, $2,300.
Okay, so look at the oil price, because the Saudis have been suddenly saying to themselves, we're the biggest producers, so we don't care about OPEC anymore. Down 1.5% is West Texas, or nearly one, at 39.20, and Brent crude oil is 42.12, which is down 1.25%. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think this is a market that's 30 to 45 for the next couple of years. It doesn't look as though it's going anywhere. It's had this awful shock, and it's now gone into it's now recovering. In other words, it had the shock, if you can sort of relate it to somebody who's had a heart attack or something, and then they go into ICU, they recover, and then they stabilize for a couple of years. That's the impression I get with crude oil, which is good, of course, for the world, because people need to hedge.
Yeah, it is good for both. Look, also, I'd like to see what that implied volatility is as well, because it must have come in immensely from the wild swings over the last few months to almost sort of flatlining now. And I agree with you. I think they're trying everything they can to try and get this oil price up, but to no avail. I think we, you know, the world get used to an oil price, as you said, Ron, between
cheap oil,
$42, $43, $44, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's good for the world economy. But, it's those oil traders out there, there's just no volatility at the moment.
We spoke this morning about the Click story, and you hadn't seen it because you got married this weekend. Again, congratulations, newly married Nick. So you're not going to look at Nick is not going to look at clicks when he's getting married. But you saw the story, and it says seven of South African retailer Clicks' stores damaged in process over racist ad. And it was an inappropriate advertisement. But anyway, did anything happen to the share price?
No, even budge.
Not at
all. Minus 0.04% down.
I'd say that's unchanged in my language.
Which is 10 cents. Mm. Yeah, it's unchanged. Yeah, I did pick up on the story. Look, also Twitter sphere picked up on it after a little bit of research after you pointed it out to me, but yeah, share price didn't even move.
Okay, anything else on the Stock Exchange news service this morning?
Can we take out of the big number today?
Okay, let's just start with, before we get to that, which is exciting, is AVI this morning. We mentioned it. It came out at just after 7 o'clock, and you liked the numbers, you said to me. 7% up the share.
They were excellent set of numbers. Yeah. They're up. You had a chance to get them this morning. They're up 2.25% when we were speaking on your show, and they finished up on the highs of the session. 7.81% firmer. Yeah, and I reiterate, just our clever guys in Cape Town who were discussing in our morning meeting, just saying they were really surprisingly good set of numbers. And once again, the sort of outlook, which David Shapiro often mentions at the end of the report, was very, very positive. So even in this environment, doing what they're doing, and I'm also leaning more towards sort of, I think we're in for sort of a soft commodity boom with food inflation as well, and AVI would tie in quite nicely. So I like this. Nice little side of the story in it, and good set of numbers and good set of trading action today, which also, you want to see the trade action today to see who's doing what. So 7.81% up in a flat market is very impressive.
Yes, but a thin market as well. Brait agrees terms for final payment for the sale of Iceland Foods. That share price up around about 3%, something like that. Capitec Bank Holdings Limited, update of trading statement. What's that all about? What did they say?
Yeah, so we're around the middle of the bank earnings season in South Africa, and a lot of people have mulled the fact that the likes of Absa with those 95% down on earnings, they threw the kitchen sink in it. And Standard Bank, some people said they didn't throw enough of the kitchen sink in it, down 45% of those earnings. But Capitec out today, warning of I don't know where they get this number, an 82%, not 80 or 70, an 82% fall in first half profits. It says it's grappling with higher debt, bad debt expenses, loan transaction volumes, and so on and so on and so on. Yes. And headline earnings, obviously, between 78 and 82%, from 225 Rand 45 in the prior comparative period. The share price unchanged, mildly budged as well. In fact, it was unchanged when the news broke, and it's only at the end of the day up 1.35%. I suspect a lot of that is to do with maybe people not thinking it was that bad. But I still think they're quite a slick set of operators, and they're quite aggressive when it comes to how they impair their bad debts. They're more aggressive than traditional banks. So maybe that's a bit of it. But quite a staggering – 82% drop, Lindsay. I mean, that's frightening as a share.
It's a monster. It's an absolute monster. And that share price could still fall 200-300 Rand per share and still be slightly – too glamorous for a value investor. Bell Equipment came out with something. I've never mentioned that company to you before. Bell Equipment came out with its unaudited interim results for the period ending 30th of June, and it was up 30% today. 5.95 Rand. I mean, it's not one that you follow, of course, but I'm just mentioning it for good order's sake.
No, so there was this used to have quite a big local following. And I believe it was based out of KZN, the original guys that started it, and it's a very much a proxy for heavy machinery and what they call the yellow metal as well.
Yeah,
and it's quite a good indication. I mean, this share price is doing very well, and they're seeing things we're not. Maybe this is one of these sort of green shoots, these sort of ones we should keep an eye on, because they certainly are a direct reflection. So, I don't follow it myself, but I've got a few phone calls today from clients who are sort of waxing lyrical about this is your canary in the coal mine. It's actually
so this is something that perhaps maybe their order book has started to build up a little bit, because people are getting confident about the South African and African, the sub-Saharan African. Maybe they've got orders. Yeah,
specifically on this continent. So, I mean, you treat this almost like you treat, say, copper with new home sales and stuff like that. You get an indication, you watch the copper price.
Or lumber.
Or Bell Equipment. Yeah, or lumber. And in Bell Equipment, I think, very surprising to the upside. And quite frankly, you know, you talk about European markets. You know, South Africa didn't have a bad day today in thin markets. You know, we could have easily gone sort of trickled along sideways after the, you know, the ups and downs of last week. But I thought it was quite a solid session, even in thin volume.
We'll come to that in a moment. Let's have a look at my screen now, which is probably slightly outdated. But anyway, AVI up 7%. Sibanye-Stillwater up nearly 6%. Anglo-American Platinum up 5.75%. Harmony up nearly 5%. Cartrack up nearly 5%. Truworths down 3.5% after their results last week. RCL Foods down 3.2%. Netcare down 2.5%. And that's it. Anything else outside of those ones? Because you have a slightly bigger universe than mine.
Yeah, I saw this popped up for me out of nowhere. And again, I don't have exposure to it. I have a few clients who are involved with it. Spur Corporation, you, those in South Africa, would know.
We spoke about that last week because of all the resignations.
Yeah. Down another 12% today at,
wow.
At 12.40. So there's definitely some funnies going on in the background. And as I said, the news was only on the 3rd when they came out and we were spoken about all the resignations. I think David Shapiro was speaking about it as well. But that stock continuing to slide. I mean, this is hitting 52-week low today, 12.40. So they do need to do something there to stem the rot. And there's another one you talk about, a canary in the coal mine. You know, we saw having financial directors resigning before their time, you know, take note. So there's been no news flow today out of it. And I guess the company, they haven't said anything since they announced on the 3rd of September. So.
Haven't they got a head office in the Netherlands? Aren't they based in Amsterdam or something? I know PF Antonder has links to the Netherlands. But anyway, it's an interesting company, and it's served me well over the years with the children, of course. I don't know if you ever took your son to Spur, but it's a great place if you're feeling slightly hungover and he can go and play.
They've actually got quite a nice sort of group of franchises under them now. Obviously, we all know that the Spur, but don't forget they've also got John Dory.
Yeah.
They've got a more upmarket grill, which there's actually one, believe it or not, in Stellenbosch, which is excellent, called the Husser Grill. Of course, they've got the Rocker Mum has been a huge success. So they've got quite a very interesting sort of spread of franchises. But, I mean, there's obviously something going on, Lindsay, so you don't have these resignations out of nowhere. And the share price today, with no news flow, down 12.7%. And I've said this a few times on the show. You know, the JSE is anything but efficient when it comes to trade prices.
Yes, it does, especially on a thin day like this. How did the How did the indices close?
Okay, so we actually did finish with a good day, as I said. I mean, I thought it was not bad trade action, even though the thin volume. 54,400 up 521 points, almost 1% higher on the JSE All Share. Top 40 up 0.94%, back above 50,000. Nice to see. 50,185. And indices are quite mixed. So energy shares 2.37% higher. Basic materials, as miners, had a good day, up 2.32%. Even the financials bouncing back, even after a terrible set of results from Capitec, financial index 0.6%. And the laggers today, technology down 0.2%, industrials down 0.25%. Healthcare was down minus 0.68%. Although what I'm about to tell you now, I might overrule any of these moves because
okay.
We only traded 13.5 billion traded. So
yeah.
Really is not a good session. So maybe some of these prices have been extenuated with a very thin market on this holiday.
With just a couple of months to go to the US presidential election, let's have a look at the Donald J. Trump tweets. He's just woken up. He's just had his bucket of KFC and a Diet Coke. And he says the following.
Wander around in his dressing gown. Yeah.
Please.
On Labor Day.
Please, it's far too early to talk about Trump in his dressing gown. 18 minutes ago, he says the following. Biggest and fastest financial recovery in history. Next year will be the best ever. Unless a sleepy person who wants to massively raise your taxes gets in. In which case, crash. Triple exclamation mark.
Oh, no, my goodness.
Gotta love Donald J. Trump. Thanks so much for your time this evening, Nick Kunzer. Nick is from Sandon Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.